Hey, this is Eve Barzilay of Clem Snod, and you're listening to Life Minute.
Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words?
Singer-songwriter Eve Barzilay and his band Clem Snide have been bringing us beautiful goods for years. The indie rock star has just dropped his 10th studio album, Oh Smokey, and oh, is it good. He stopped by the Life Minute Studios to tell us all about it and play a few tunes. This is a Life Minute with Eve Barzilay.
Eve Barzilay in the house, woohoo! Otherwise known as Clem Snide. Yay, thanks for joining us on Life Minute.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So good to have you. So you're on tour right now. Tell us about that.
I'm always on tour. So this is kind of how it goes for me. But this one is cool. I'm just playing by myself. It's more intimate, sort of mellow. I'm touring with this guy, Abe Partridge, who's super cool. So it's a fun little 3 weeks, you know. Little run.
Nice. What are fans gonna get when they see you play live?
I hope to lift up their spirits and free their minds, you know, and I like people have a good time. You know, I like to do some goofy stuff, but then do some serious stuff, you know, kind of a emotional roller coaster ride. That's what I go for.
What instruments are you gonna use for this tour? Are you using?
It's just me and a guitar, and that's pretty much play a little ukulele too, you know.
Cool, which we're gonna hear later, right?
Yes,
awesome. Will. And you have a new album coming out too, Oh Smokey, your 10th album, is it?
I think, yeah, I stopped counting years ago. I think it's the 10th one.
Tell us about that, why that title, and what's it sound like to you?
Yeah, I made it with this guy, Josh Kaufman, who works on a bunch of records, worked with all kinds of people. Mostly I just wanted to make a record with him. You know, I make records more, I'm kind of opportunistic, you know, if the things line up such that I can make a record, you know, then I'll finish up the songs that I have. And so we just got together. It was very casual, informal at his house, you know, over a few months. But it came out really good. He played most of the instruments. He's like a multi-instrumentalist, producer, engineer, which was wonderful. I just kind of stumbled in and sang.
Just
sang my parts. That was, but it came out really nice. I'm proud of it. I think it's good, yeah.
You were born in Tel Aviv?
Actually, I was born in Haifa. I know it says Tel Aviv on the Wikipedia. I don't know who wrote that.
Okay.
But same difference. Yeah, I was born in Israel. Haifa. Me and Gene Simmons. That's something that I have in common with Gene Simmons.
Right.
I moved to New Jersey. My family moved there when I was really little, so I didn't.
What made them come here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for why most people come, you know, my dad was ambitious and wanted to, he was an engineer and he knew, you know, he could get more, you know, more gigs here than in Israel, I think. Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to be a musician? When did you know?
When did I know? Yeah, I decided in high school, I've been playing music since I was 12 or 13. You know, we had a little band in high school. We played a lot of, it was what I was most kind of into. I didn't do very well in school and I didn't want to go to college and I didn't really want to do anything else. So I made the decision without really knowing what that even meant. You know, I just kind of went for it. You just got to go for it, you know, because if you really think about it too much, it's not a good idea, you know, so you have to just. You have to be a little bit unreasonable to do it, so that helps.
When did you start writing songs?
Like 21, 22, I think I wrote my first, I played guitar before then, but yeah, I didn't really start trying to write songs until I was in my early 20s.
And you have a really unique voice. How did you know you could sing?
Yeah, I don't know, I just started singing, you know. I didn't take any singing lessons I don't like to think of myself as a singer necessarily, you know, I just sing. That's how it comes out.
Very modest.
Hope for the best. But, you know, I've been doing it for, I think I figured it out finally. But, you know, those first couple of records, I mean, you can tell my voice sounds a little, a little tentative. Takes a while.
I don't know about that. It's just definitely unique. Like, it's you and you're saying.
Well, thank you.
How would you describe your sound over the course of all these years?
I don't know. You know, the sound, each record has been sort of different. The band, different people have come and gone. I think for me, it's just... it's just about the words, the melody. The song is just a melody and words, everything else is just sort of can be whatever you want it to be, and I've never committed to, we used to be more like rock, and then we went very quiet and more country. I just think of it as like American music, rock and roll, country, folk. I mean, I don't get too like genre, sort of focused necessarily.
What comes first for you, the music or the lyrics or just both?
The pain, that's what comes first, the anguish. It goes both ways, Sometimes I'll have some words and a melody will find its way into the words, and sometimes I'll have a melody and the words kind of find a way into that. Hmm. I think, but for me, the words are important. I think I probably focus more on the words than anything else,
What about the instruments, the guitar? Were you self-taught or did you have lessons?
Yeah, no, I studied. I took guitar. I took guitar lessons in high school with this great old guy from Jersey named Van Moretti, who could have been, one of the greats, but just chose to stay, around Jersey and just teach and stuff. But he kind of groomed me to be like a jazz. He taught me how to play jazz guitar, like that Joe Pass kind of, style. So I went to Berklee College of Music after high school with the vague notion that I would be like a jazz guitar player, but then I didn't even know what that meant. And then I heard I got more interested in like the punk rock music than the jazz music. That felt more doable to me.
Like, who are your influences?
My influences, it's hard to say. It's sort of changed over the years. The big influence for me in terms of songwriting, I'd say it was Hank Williams. Actually, I'd say I learned to write songs by learning Hank Williams songs. I think it's a good, just foundation. I don't know. I love all kinds of music. It's hard for me to. Dad, I love Daniel Johnston. He was a big influence back in the day. And Townes Van Zandt, Gram Parsons, Neil Young. I got deep into Neil for many years, for sure. All the usual cats.
Very eclectic. That's cool. And then Clem Snide, how did that come to be?
The name. Oh, I know the name. So we started the band. It was a band initially. And we had this William Burroughs cassette of him just reading some of his writings, and it just opened with he said, "My name's Clem Snide and I'm a private hole," and the name just stuck all these years later. But later on I found out that a lot of bands had gotten their names from William Burroughs, so it's not the most original way to find a name, but it works. It's cool.
Were you in any other bands before that one?
Nothing of note. I had my high school band, and then I played I played with a few people in and around Boston just briefly, but Clem Snide started in 1991, so when I was just 20 years old. So that's my whole life, Clem Snide.
And now it's just you, right?
Now it's just me. Couldn't fire myself.
Brief touch with mainstream. Your songs have been on Ed, Californication, that show. What was that like when that got picked up? And
That was that kind of, I love when that stuff happens, but I have like nothing to do with that. I just get like an email and they tell me and they make me an offer, and I usually accept
it. Refuse.
It's usually an offer I accept. But I've been lucky in that way. They're using my cover of "I'll Be Your Mirror" in The Handmaid's Tale. Again, they used it in a couple seasons back. Now they're using it again this season.
Awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, it keeps the lights on, for sure.
And you've dug deep into other artists' catalog, cover versions of their songs. Any favorites that you have?
Yeah, I do a lot of fan. I do this thing called fan chosen covers, where I just let people suggest covers, the one I love doing, "Staying Alive." That's the Bee Gees. You know,
Bee Gees are so good.
I love the Bee Gees so much. I know. I do that one a lot. "I'll Be Your Mirror." I do. I've been doing "I Want to Be Your Dog" by the Stooges recently. That's awesome. Fun. I do a kind of a yacht rock version of it, though, if you can imagine.
I can. Oh, and you did a collab with the Avett Brothers as well. What was that like?
Yeah, that was great. Well, yeah, Scott Avett. I just got word, through the grapevine that Scott Avett was a fan. This is back in 2016. I just reached out to him and started talking, and we started just sending some ideas back and forth, you know, without any real intention. But I decided to, I sort of cajoled him into making a record and producing a Clem Snide record. And he said, yes. So that was great. That kind of put me back on the map, you know, because I hadn't really done anything for years before then. So
awesome.
He kind of resurrected the band, you know. But I love those guys. They're so sweet. They're great.
It's cool when other musicians, you know, like you. It's a good mark of you're a musician's musician.
Well, that's I hope. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
definitely. Nice. Any other collabs you'd like to do in the future?
I don't know. I can't think of any big artists necessarily. You know, I've been doing a lot of what I've been doing recently is kind of fun. This one guy, I do this with a few fans, but I have people that, like, you know, amateur or aspiring songwriters. This one guy, I've been doing a bunch of his tunes where he sends me these very crude, you know, attempts at writing a song, but, you know, he doesn't have any musical. Not a lot of musical ability, but interesting lyrics. And so I take his kind of crude attempts at a song and sort of turn it into something more musical. And that's really fun. I like
it. Amazing. And what do you do with it? Do you play it on social or
what? I just give it, right now we haven't done anything with it, but we might put out an EP
God.
The guy's name is Bob. Me and Bob. I think, one of the unique things about Clem Snide, because Clem Snide essentially fell apart in 2010, 2011, as far as the band broke up. I mean, it was always kind of on the verge of breaking up, but it really broke up then. And then the label went out of business. The booking agent went away. You know, everything sort of bottomed out. So I had to, like I said, I couldn't fire myself. So I had to, because I can't do anything else. I just went directly to fans. You know, started with Kickstarter and all that crowdfunding stuff. And then, doing covers. I write songs for people too. I've done like over hundreds, many hundreds of like personal songs that I've made for people. And then now I spend about 3 or 4 months out of the year just going from one house to the next and playing in people's living rooms and backyards. And it's great. I have some fans that I've known for almost 20 years. I mean, it's like old friends, and it's kind of special, you know, in that way. I think, one of the advantages of not ever becoming too famous, just famous enough.
How do people request?
I'm very easy to get a hold of. You can go to the website, the clemsnide.de, Instagram. Yeah, send me a message, and I'll throw some dates at you. Let's make it happen. Come on.
Unbelievable. And would you go anywhere?
Fine. I mean, it's more, it's like I try to route it so that, you know, it's practical. So, if I'm going to be in your area on this date, I'll send you an email. You know, it's no pay whatever you want. It's kind of a pay what you can deal, you know.
Talk about an intimate show.
I've done some real intimate ones. I played for two people once. Just two
You're
people.
Kidding.
They sat right in front of me, just as close as you are.
Oh, my God.
Played right to, and they started talking, too, while I was playing.
Oh.
They were excited. They had to just talk about it.
What does music do for people?
It definitely does something. You know, I've had more than a few people on this tour just, weeping, into my shoulder. I think it, I like to just get down to some core, you know, we're all just the same. We're all just like, you know, children of God. You know, I like to just get right to that, you know what I'm saying? The truth of just being alive and being a person.
What's next for you? What's something you want to do that you haven't maybe done yet?
Well, I got to get an oil change in my car. So, but I've done that before. I just did it recently. No, I don't know. Yeah, like I want to be free. You know, I want to live as free as I can. You know, I want to achieve a state of grace and just be free in my mind, body, and spirit. And just bring the good vibes, you know. I just try to bring good vibes wherever I go, you know.
Are you going to play for us now?
Yes.
All right. What are you going to play?
I was going to play the Roger Ebert song that's on the record before.
Oh, you're an awesome person. Thank you for coming.
Yay! Thanks for having me.
I'm going to hear him play now.
Yay. All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right, here goes.
Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words? Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words? It's all an elaborate hoax. It's all an elaborate hoax. And he looked ever peaceful, he looked ever young, accepting his moment that soon would be done. He wrote in a note that he passed to his wife as he felt himself shedding the skin of this life. Said, there is a vastness that can't be contained or described as a thought in the flesh of our brain. It's everything, everywhere, future and past, dissolving together in an eternal flash. Ooh. That he loved her so much, his hand seemed to pass through whatever it touched. And the credits that rolled listed all of God's names as images floated away from their frames. From their frames. Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words? Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words? It's all an elaborate hoax. An elaborate hoax. It's all an elaborate hoax.
All right, you want to hear one more? We do another? Is that? I can do one off the new record. I can only play like 3 songs with this ukulele. This is one of the 2. My right here. We'll do this one. Yeah, it's called At Your Command. And it's on the Oh Smokey record. It's like a prayer, sort of non-denominational.
God, won't you meet me half the way? I've come with my seeds in hand. God, treat me as you would a child. I'm here always at your command. Softly lay me in the field. God, hold me like a baby bird, naked before everything what's real. Tempted as I am, all these earthly things that only ever just slip through my hand. Oh, where do I end and where is it that you begin? Guide me as I take my final stand. Hiding in the uncut grass, a bright red lighter buried in the sand. God, please just meet me half the way. I'm here always at your command. I'm here always at your command.
Woo! All right.
Play the third one.
All right, I'm gonna do. This is also on the new record. This is one that I. Yeah, it's one of those songs I wrote for. I started doing this thing during COVID when I was, all the tours got canceled. So I was kind of trapped in the basement. And yeah, I invited people to talk to me, give me something, tell me your life story, give me something good, and I'll try and make a song for you out of it. And one guy that reached out to me immediately was real excited about the whole project, a guy named Dan. And Dan's story basically was that he had about 4 months left to live. He was terminal, and I had stopped all the treatments and sold everything. Was living in an RV in the deserts of Utah, and we had a conversation. I did it through the computer for this, like, it's kind of turned into a podcast basically. But anyway, so Dan knew when he was going to die, and was really like just living, without a care, without a care in the world. And it was really kind of wonderful to talk to him. He was really so full of joy, and this freedom. And he was writing, he was finishing his novel. He was writing songs and also getting real, getting wasted every night. He liked to party, you know, so now it was like a no holds barred kind of big going out in a blaze of glory kind of a situation. And anyway, so I wrote him a song a couple weeks after we talked, and I sent him the song, and he wrote me back. So I was so excited to hear it, but he had promised his friend they would listen to it together. So the plan was to go back to San Diego for the weekend and hang out with the friend, and also planning to take a lot of like, you know, mushrooms that weekend. That was another part of his plan. So he's gonna trip hard and listen to the song, and anyway, we're gonna talk again after that. But the weekend came and went, and I didn't hear back from him. And then like another week went by, and still wrote him, "Hey Dan, you know, what's up, buddy?" And I just never heard back from him. So I don't even know if he heard the song. So I like to play it whenever I can. You know, maybe he's somewhere listening. You know? So it's called Angel Canyon, song for Dan, and it goes like this. Well, at least there is bourbon. At least there is weed. And even mushrooms if you need. And tiny little empty eyes kindly staring back at you. Angel Canyon at night has the darkest of skies. It's quieter than death. Seemed as good a place as any for drawing your last breath. Cause you can't run, you can't hide when it's your own body's time to die. As you well know, it's painfully clear. So may some sweet old song be the last thing that you hear. Yala bada bee. Yala bada bada ba. Yala bee. And Dan, well, there are some who have died and come back. Many a crazy tale to tell. It's hard to know just what to make of all that. But they all tend to speak of some heavenly light and a love outside of time and a joy for which there are no earthly words. Cause you can't run and you can't hide when it's your own body's time to die. As you well know, it's painfully clear. So may some sweet old song be the last thing that you hear. Yala bada bee. Yala bada bada boo. Yala bada. Run, you can't hide when it's your own body's time to die. As you well know, it's painfully clear. So may some sweet
old song be the last thing that you hear.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.